Welcome to Healthcare IT Today. I'm John Lin, together with my colleague and friend, Colin Hung. The world of technology and healthcare are ever-changing in new and novel ways, and that's why we love this stuff so much. So join us as we discuss the latest healthcare and health IT news meshed together in new ways, which helps generate ideas and new perspectives. Plus, we'll have a little fun along the way. On today's episode, we'll be talking about cloud in healthcare. Today's episode is sponsored by Atos. See their full suite of health IT solutions at atos.net. Check under the healthcare section. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at the hashtag HITSM and our personal accounts at TechGuy and at Cullen_Hung. Plus, check out our 13 years of health IT blog content at healthcareittoday.com. You ready to head to the clouds? Is that what we're doing?
That is what we're doing today. Yes. Let's throw out as many healthcare cloud and cloud puns as we can. That's the goal today.
Every cloud pun. We added the video version of the podcast. Ding.
That's right. Well, little bingo cards that people can use as well and see who's going to win the bingo. All right. Yeah, we got some really good topics today to talk about cloud and healthcare. We're going to talk about why isn't cloud more widely adopted in healthcare? Is the cloud really secure? Who will win the battle for healthcare cloud? And then what does history teach us about cloud and what we can learn from it? So those are some pretty interesting topics to kind of circle around this whole issue or this whole opportunity, around cloud and healthcare.
Definitely. I mean, cloud has become integral to healthcare, so I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah, no, it should be fun. So let's just get right into it. So why isn't cloud more widely adopted in healthcare? John, first off, you take a first shot at this one.
Yeah, I mean, I always just go back to my experiences hearing all these CIOs in the past who were just literally afraid of it. They weren't comfortable with it. They thought, hey, I need it in my house and I need to see my data. And if I can, then I feel safer. And there was this kind of almost overriding, like, if it's in my data center, it must be safer because I can see it and feel it and go to sleep with it at night. And yeah, no, but I mean, like, literally, this was almost the emotion I've heard from a lot of CIOs. And, you know, I think it's changing, right? I think we're seeing a sea change where the CIO realizes that the cloud is the future. But I think there was just this utter fear, first of all. And then I think the second reason, which, you know, this is something that the CIO really couldn't have control unless they pushed harder against their vendors. And that was that a lot of the health IT vendors only provided an on-premise solution. So the Epics, the Cerners, the Meditechs of the world, their only solution for years was an in-house solution. And, you know, we could argue, was that customer demand or was that something they chose? I mean, certainly, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around, but I think, you know, most of these organizations were doing it in-house because they had to and they needed to, and they didn't push back against their vendor to say, hey, we want cloud. In fact, they probably did the opposite and said, no, if you're not in-house, I'm not implementing you. And so I think that's where we're at today is because of that.
I agree with you, John. I think I would add two things. One, I would say that there definitely is this sort of bigger legacy in healthcare where everything was on-prem. And I think unwinding that legacy was a lot more complex than people originally anticipated. So I think even though there might have been the majority of people not wanting to go to the cloud, I even think the ones who wanted to go to the cloud just didn't realize how hard it was going to be to rip the existing system out because it was so integrated with all these other things, devices for one, integrated very integrally into their process, right? And that's not easy. That's not an easy thing to change. I've even heard of some cases where it was actually written into some union contracts that, you know, they had to have certain, you know, applications and certain, it was just, it's crazy because back then no one thought anything of this, right? They never thought about hosting applications in the cloud. So I think there was
definitely scary in the beginning, right? I mean, yeah. Let's be honest, the cloud was a little wild west in the beginning. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see the evolution though, because, you know, cloud has finally started to come, but there was that time where it's like it needed to be on-prem.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of my second point I was going to make, and that is, honestly, I think the early cloud systems probably weren't any better than the on-prem ones. And so there wasn't enough compelling enough reason just to switch to it. I mean, healthcare, I know we kind of say that healthcare is a bit behind, but I also would say the flip side of that is if it was working, then why change it, right? Even though it was inefficient, it was still sort of the devil you know. And I think the early cloud applications, they weren't much better. So there
Well,
wasn't any reason to go to it.
think about it this way too. When the $36 billion of stimulus money hit for EHR, they basically dropped a bomb on the healthcare IT industry and said, "Hey, guess what? You better ch you know choose an EHR, or you're not going to get this money, and you're going to get penalties." And so all these organizations had to, in this insane timeline, decide, "Okay, wait, am I going to switch to cloud or not?" And so in many ways, I almost feel like the meaningful use money, the stimulus money, actually cemented in an anti-cloud infrastructure, because that was what was happening already. And so they're like, "Well, do I upgrade to the cloud, or do I just deal with meaningful use?" And I think a majority of them said, "Are you kidding me? I got to do all this meaningful use stuff. You want me to switch to cloud and deal with meaningful use?" So in many ways, I would almost say meaningful use solidified the on-premise solutions versus cloud and made it kind of an anti-cloud environment.
Yeah, you could say it set us back in some ways. It maybe delayed cloud by a couple of years because everyone was scrambling to comply as opposed to, adopting the new technology as it came. Thankfully though, I have to say, now we're at a point where I think cloud applications are better than the on-prem versions. I don't know of anybody or too many organizations out there that are adopting on-prem only anymore. I think there's definitely, whether it's certain applications for productivity or team collaboration, there's definitely cloud entering everywhere into healthcare, which is a great thing to see. And I think part of that is because the applications are finally at a point where they're proven to be more valuable than what was existing.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea. If some startup came and pitched a healthcare organization that they have this new on-prem solution, would you look at them and say, "Wait a minute, you have
Hey.
this solution that's backwards?" I mean, there's a few cases where it makes sense in rural environments and whatnot, but for the majority of people that have a fat pipe of internet and are able to do it, like, a startup company just doesn't even think, like, it's not like a choice anymore. The choice is, are you going to do cloud, or are you not going to have a startup?
Let's move on to the next question, Gunn. Is cloud really secure? I'm sure this is a big question on a lot of
Yes.
minds of CIOs.
No, I mean, I'll steal my answer from Shahid, who I heard at HIMSS conference. He said it's actually kind of a false question, right? It's just a poorly done question. So that's why I thought it was perfect to add to the Healthcare IT Today podcast and radio show. So I thought, it's like, let's incorporate Healthcare IT Today. But no, I mean, it makes sense, right? No technology in and of itself is secure, especially cloud. It's really how you implement it and the policies and procedures you put around it that really decide whether it's secure or not. So you can't just say, "Oh, if I put it in the cloud, it's secure," because if you implement cloud poorly, it's going to be just as insecure as your on-prem solution. So I think that's one of the challenges when it comes to talking about security in the cloud.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think, security in the cloud, as we know, there's been a lot of studies to say it's actually not related to the technology, or it's equally related to the technology and the process and the people, right? People sharing passwords is a problem whether you have an on-prem or whether you have a cloud system. People who shouldn't have access, getting access to certain parts of the system, that's a problem of policies and procedures, not a problem of the technology. So I think, yes, a cloud at the beginning may have had some issues, or maybe was a little less secure because even the vendors were getting used to implementing in the cloud. But I certainly think nowadays, now that we've had years of cloud use in other areas outside of healthcare, I think now cloud and on-prem should be relatively the same in terms of the underpinnings of the technology are secure. And now it's really more just how do you manage that?
See, and I would actually argue against that. I would say that if you look at the law of averages, that I would say the average cloud solution is more secure than
Sure.
an on-prem one. And that's because two reasons, really. The cloud providers have more money and more resources to invest in security, including the people that will secure it. And so that often, you know, is easier for them to do because they've invested more. It's not so much that a hospital or healthcare organization couldn't secure it, but that they've invested more, you know, especially the Googles and Amazons of the world, they've invested a lot more in the securing of it than, you know, say, a hospital or a health system could do. But then the second reason is that the whole survival of that product and that company is dependent upon that cloud being secure. I mean, their whole infrastructure and their whole survival as a company depends on it. And so they take a different attitude generally. Of course, we're speaking in averages and generalities, is generally better than a healthcare organization, which we've seen. I mean, there's been massive breaches of healthcare organizations. And did they go under? Did they disappear? I haven't seen one yet. There's been a couple small ones that have been close with different frauds, but you know, I haven't seen it from a breach actually. You know, sure, I mean, don't get me wrong, they get massive fines and they're hurting, but you know, it's just a different attitude when it comes to it. You know, Andy Oram actually pointed this out in an article that's coming on Healthcare IT Today, just that the mindset and culture of a cloud company versus a healthcare organization that tries to do cloud is different.
Well, I can definitely see that. And I can definitely see how, you know, the investments that a cloud organization makes to defend and secure against external threats is perhaps higher, and there's definitely more resources being deployed on that side. I guess what I would say is that I think there's some work to do on the internal side, because I think on-prem versus cloud, we still have some of the same issues where, you know, and users will take the path of least resistance, right? If it's really hard to log in, they'll share logins, right? It just, that happens. You know, if you make it too difficult to get to the information they want, they'll print it off, right? Again, it's not secure. So, you know, the internal side, I think from that perspective, it doesn't matter whether it's cloud or on-prem, you still have the same issues. But I certainly think on the back end, as you're talking about, there's definitely a big difference between, you know, on-prem and cloud, because you're right. A cloud organization, their whole business is predicated on making sure it's secure, and they're able to dedicate more resources, and they're able to update a lot faster than an on-prem typically can as well. So,
yeah, as a former system administrator, data center guy, I knew the problems I had. I knew a lot of it, but then there were probably even things I hadn't thought about. And so, you know, like both of those things scare me. But what's interesting is that scares me on both sides, because, you know, these cloud providers are hiring highly qualified people, but, you know, laziness is kind of a human trait too. And like you said, the path of least resistance. So it's a little bit scary on both sides of it.
So for those of you that are just tuning in, this is Healthcare IT Today's episode, and I'm Colin Hung, and that's my friend John Lin. And today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Atos.
Yeah, so it's great that Atos, you know, has been such a longtime partner with Healthcare IT Today. They really offer such a wide variety of health IT services, not just for healthcare, but a number of different industries. And, you know, they can help your organization as you shift to value-based care. I've met some of those experts. They're incredible. They have a full stack of security services. I think they have like 100 hospitals that they work with, if I remember right. And they can help, you know, with EHR optimization, with training. I love their breakaway group simulator training that they do with the EHR. So Atos really has some great people to work with, some experts in technology and healthcare. So learn more about them at atos.net under the healthcare section.
Great, John. Let's move on to the next question. Number three, who will win the battle for healthcare cloud?
Man, part of me says everyone. I mean, maybe I'll make some caveats, but you know, when I look at the public cloud, it's a fight between three giants: Amazon, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud. It's Amazon AWS, of course. I don't see any of them not winning. The only question in their mind is, will it be $100 million business or will it be a $10 billion business, right? You know, which, you know, if it's in the 100 million, it's $1 billion, they might just get rid of it, which is, anyway, that's a comment on capitalism and different things. But yeah, they're going to win. It's just a question of how big and to what extent. And I think there's quite a bit of movement for all three of them to win. There's some value in having the diversity across all three, and we're seeing some really interesting solutions that allow you to host across all three platforms. That's not music to their ears, but at least they're a dog in the fight, right? And they're happy to be part of it and have that business. So, but I think it also goes lower. There's another layer of cloud providers, whether it's partners with the Google and Amazon and Microsofts. They're going to be big winners as well. And but I think that will be more of a grudge match to see, who creates the right relationships, who understands what's really needed in specific industries. And I think that's particularly true in healthcare, where they better understand HIPAA, they better understand business associate agreements and those types of things that will make the CIO feel comfortable that they should work with that cloud vendor. So, who they partner with and then the partner's relationship with the industry is really going to matter.
Yeah, I look at this, John, in a way where, like you, I'm kind of like, it's going to be one of those three that win, but winning is, in quotes, because, it just means the difference between someone being the $1 billion one and then a couple other people being the $100 million, hundreds of millions of dollars one. So, who's winning, who's losing in that, I don't really know. I
It
liken
might
it
be more
to,
like billion and hundred
yeah,
billion, though. That's what's
exactly.
crazy about this
It's
market.
true, true. But I look at it and go, one day we probably won't care. Like we won't really care. Are you running on Google Cloud versus are you running on AWS? Again, probably not music to the ears of any of these three vendors, but I think that's the reality that we're heading for. That it's going to become a utility, and it's going to be more of a, okay, well, that's great. And I don't think people are going to switch necessarily, but I think they're going to be building them in such a way where it doesn't matter. You can run your application on any one of them, and you won't have to retool it massively like you do today sometimes to make it run. Right. So I think in the end, it's really going to come down to who's offering the better platform. I think the one thing that I will say about both Amazon and Google, only because I'm more familiar with them, is that they're starting to offer their with their cloud some add-on services that allow them to do different things. Like you can get the analytics part of it. If you host on one of those two systems, you get some analytics to come along with it. You get some other tooling that, maybe is a slight little edge over someone else. So I think we'll see sort of cloud moving away from just the infrastructure play and into this more value add stuff, and that may be some of the differentiation between them right now.
Yeah, and I mean, we see that with Microsoft as well. They're not a good sponsor of healthcare IT today, and their cloud services offers some built-in chatbots
That's
and
right.
built-in
That's right.
NLP and built-in AI that really takes that cloud to the next level, where you can implement those types of solutions in a really effective way. And I think that will differentiate them. But that goes back to the other part that we haven't even talked about, and that's kind of the private cloud offerings, where maybe they go to a Dell EMC and they host their own private cloud for their organization. I think that that's going to still be really strong in healthcare, and it's going to be a strong market, and that most of them are going to need some sort of hybrid between their own private cloud instance and a public cloud instance. And there's different lines depending on how much storage you want to do and how much you're using processing wise and things like that. That it makes it an interesting discussion between the two. And I think in healthcare, for at least the foreseeable future, we're going to see both being quite successful.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have said, private cloud is sort of the baby step to getting to full cloud. But I don't think that's the case anymore. I really think there's some really differentiated arguments to go one way versus another, depending on what application, depending on what data, depending what's happening in your organization. So I agree with you. I think the more interesting is the private cloud because there isn't quite as many of the dominant players. There's a lot of people playing in that space. It'll be interesting to see how the Dell EMCs and others, end up and who is going to be, who might be the dominant player there. And I agree with you. I think of all the industries, healthcare is probably the one that will attach themselves to private cloud more than other ones, just because of
Well,
the nature of data.
and the losers are going to be the data center operators at the hospitals, but they'll be able to switch to private. And
There you
the
go.
ones that were planning those data centers, they're in trouble, though. They need to find a new career. I think patients will win too, right? I think the data will become more liquid and accessible, and I think that's a win for patients.
That's the hope. That's the hope. Let's get to our final question, John. What does history teach us about cloud?
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah,
You're
so
older than me. I have to defer to my senior.
right, you just had to bring that up, didn't you, John?
Every
Well,
episode.
no, every episode, that's right. No, so the way I look at this question is I liken it back to the early PC days. If you remember back then when the PCs first came out, there was all this claim of, oh, it'll never be, it'd be, it's not more, it's no more than a toy, right? Like you can't really do anything good on a PC. You have to do it on these servers and on mainframes and mini computers at the time. There's just no way. That was the attitude, right? And so people just kind of, IT people just kind of ignored the PC for a while. And then meanwhile, the PC just got better and better. It became more powerful. And then of course, you know, when it started to infiltrate the offices, it was still like, oh, well, we people just do spreadsheets and word processing on that. It'll never be the platform of choice. And now look at it, right? Like you just go, we would never run, you know, the applications that we run on a mini computer anymore. We don't have mainframes anymore. So it's interesting to see that, you know, maybe one day, or I see it as, you know, 20 years ago, we were debating whether PCs were more secure, or we were debating whether PCs were going to be the wave of the future or not. And now it's just sort of accepted. 20 years later, there's no argument, right?
Yeah.
We are in a PC world. We've now band them all together to make old-fashioned servers, but it's still a PC-dominated world. I wonder if the same thing's going to happen, you know, a few years from now, when we're just going to look back at this time and go, why were we even debating cloud and why it was secure or not secure? Of course it was, right?
Well, you know, and that maybe that's why this episode will be nice is that, you know, in the beginning it wasn't. So
That's
we have
right.
to, yeah, I mean that's the thing. You know, I actually saw this great session at the Chime Forum at HIMSS, and it was a guy talking about AI and kind of, you know, the exponential increase of technology. And he talked about it from an AI perspective, but I think we see it also on the cloud side. We saw it on the desktop side. So we've seen it over and over. And what he highlighted was such an important point, which I think is what you're highlighting, which is that when stuff starts growing exponentially, then it the future that we see, right, which I think we both see that the future is a cloud-driven future where all applications, servers, data, everything is on the cloud. So if that's the case, you know, we look at it and we say, well, how do we get there? We don't have the bandwidth, we don't have the storage, we don't have the processing power. We, you know, we look at that and we say, how's that possible? When we look at the exponential increase, that's what makes it come sooner than we realize. Because we think, yeah, okay, we'll get there one day. But as the bandwidth increases, which is done incredibly, right? Even 5G is starting to come out. And that's mobile driven, high speed internet that's going to transform things. We've seen it with processing. We've seen it with storage. Even now, storage on even better hardware that's much faster. And all of those things are going to just make what we thought before was like, would we send a full radiology image across the cloud? That seems odd. Or a full, you know, genomic sequence? That seems impossible right now, which right now it is not impossible. It's just too slow. But if we see the exponential increase, then that reality of, oh yeah, we can store it in the cloud will just become commonplace. And that will transform how we think about the cloud and will just be, you know, accelerate all of this kind of cloud adoption.
Yeah, and so I think the lessons that history can teach us, if we kind of look back at all these points in history, whether it was the point of the rise of mainframes or whether it was the rise of PCs, you know, I think on one side, if you're sort of questioning whether or not the technology is real, if you're sort of on the anti-cloud side, you know, I would take a, you
There
know, take a
still
look at history.
are quite a few people that are.
Right, but as for them, I would go take a look at what, you know, remind yourself that, hey, you know, there were a lot of people who said that about PCs. And then either they were forced to get on board or they became dinosaurs, right? And I think that's sort of the warning. I think on the other side, there's sort of the irrational exuberance, to borrow a term from back in those days as well, where, hey, like, you know, cloud can't solve everything. There's still some issues that need to be addressed. The whole legal framework around the data and who owns it, that's just being worked out now. It took us a while to get here. So, you know, you have to temper it a little bit to go, yes, it is perhaps the future, it is going to be the future, but all of it's not here right now. So there are some limitations, and if we can acknowledge those, then we'll all get there a little bit faster. Because I remember stories of people trying to do cloud way back when PCs first came out, or building servers by cobbling together a bunch of PCs. And back then, it was just like it wasn't ready for it. The technology wasn't there, the hardware wasn't there, but it was too early, and yet people were trying to push that. I think we're sort of in that world right now where there are some pioneers who are really pushing the envelope of cloud and all these trying to push the organizations to do certain things, and we're just not ready for it yet. So I think history can teach us a lot about that.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really fascinating point around, okay, the technology is going to get there. I saw this recent tweet, and sorry, I can't remember who sent it for attribution, but the tweet essentially said, yeah, I think we're going to be able to share the data wherever we need to. He said, now figuring out the consent model, that's going to be much more challenging. And to me, that's why it's so important that you're maybe not on the leading edge of cloud, right? Where, yeah, you're going to suffer some early adopter challenges, but you need to be near there because you need to be able to create that framework of consent, that framework of security, that framework and understanding of how cloud can enable you, because then it will allow you to flourish and thrive in the future. Whereas if you just say, okay, I'll get there when I get there, then you're missing out on all the education that happens that allows you to leverage it for your healthcare organization.
Well, enough this episode by me saying something as the old guy on the episode, John. I remember the day when we were looking at terminals, and that's how you access mainframes. For those of you who never heard of that before, but we had these terminals, right, that are essentially dumb little terminals. They couldn't really do much. They couldn't store anything. Yet it connected to this massive server behind the scenes through a pipe, and you could do everything you wanted to do. And I look at that now, and I look at all the tablets that we have, and the Chromebooks and things, which barely have no they have don't no storage, and everything's on the cloud. And I go, see, that is just sort of the terminal from 40 years ago, reincarnated now as a Chromebook. And I laugh and I go, all the I bet you there are some people still around who remember those mainframe days who will go, I remember what it was like managing those things, and now people are kind of dealing with the exact same thing, just with new technology.
Yep, what's old is new again.
There you go. There you go. Hey, listen, thank you to all of you who tuned into this episode of Healthcare IT Today. For more details about our show, check out the show programs page on healthcarenowradio.com. And share your voice and engage with the community at healthcareittoday.com or on Twitter at the hashtag HITSM. I'm Colin Hung with my friend and health IT collaborator, John Lin. Thanks for listening and have a great week.